This is Life I Swear, where we share stories and reflections from Black women about trials in their lives that have helped them heal, connect, and process. Every week, we hold space for storytelling that both challenges and inspires us to be good to ourselves. I'm your host, Chloe Dulce Luvueso. Black women and girls deserve access to healing, healing that will impact generations to come. There is one organization I love that is showing up for Black women and girls in unique and powerful ways, the Loveland Foundation. The foundation's core program, the Loveland Therapy Fund, provides financial access to Black women, girls, and non-binary folks seeking therapy nationwide. The Loveland Foundation contributes to both the empowerment and the liberation of our communities. I love to see us collectively commit to our wellness, and by simultaneously supporting each other, there is power in community. To donate to the Loveland Foundation or explore other ways to give, visit thelovelandfoundation.org. One of my first inspirations for collecting an anthology of essays was this amazing book that I've raved to Renee Blewett about called Goodbye to All That, Writers on Loving and Leaving New York. The stories begin, as love stories do, with the passion of something newly discovered, that are written with certainty that New York City is the only place on earth where one can become exactly who she is meant to be. But as with many loves, New York can also lose its charm when the pressure, the franticness, wears on you. Each writer's goodbye to New York is singular and universal, like New York itself, writes the book. My time in New York meant so much to me. It's where I discovered and explored my own creative writing for the first time, where I watched the people on the train sing, dance, and make eye exchanges, where I fell in love with learning what I was brave enough for and still terrified of, where friends became family and the flashes of ideas that came to us became our magic, but also where I tried to repair heartbreak through distraction and tried to keep my momentum with fatigued energy. And when that happens, you know you are ready for a new season. Saying goodbye to places that essentially raised you can feel much like grief. But for those with creative souls and adventurous spirits, like Renee Blewett, creator of She Did That, it also represents a new beginning. Are you running away from or toward something? I ask myself in life transitions. And I asked her too, as she packed her bags for a one-way ticket to Los Angeles. And this conversation followed. Congratulations, sis, for having the courage to choose softness that this new season represents and requires, for accepting what you deserve, which is ease and light, and for embarking on the unknown in the name of trusting where your creative endeavors will lead you. And now, let's get into it. Renee Blewett, welcome to Life I Swear.
Hello, thank you for having me on Life I Swear.
So I have been long inspired by you and your work, and before I even met you, and I have yet to still meet you in person, but now that I know you, I still feel so supported by you and your work, and I see our work being extremely complementary.
Yes.
You know, we've both created these spaces where we welcome other Black women to dream and execute alongside us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what you're doing in all of your many creative projects. And one thing, though, and we talked about this in our last conversation, is if I'm being real with myself and about my own insecurities, I've
personally found it to be comforting to celebrate other women.
Yes.
And almost, you know, evade or avoid celebrating myself. There's just this discomfort in it. And I'm wondering how that resonates with you as you kind of center your work on the successes and the possibilities of other women.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely relate to that. So prior to the work I'm doing now, I used to do PR on the corporate side in PR agencies, worked with quite a few Black women-owned brands. And so my background professionally is storytelling, and I've always been telling other people's stories. And so that has, you know, obviously played a huge role in just being comfortable doing that and enjoying doing that. But at one point in my career, I realized I was clear on the types of stories that I wanted to be telling. And I wanted to be telling Black women's stories, and then specifically the stories of Black women who are creating, who are innovating, who are opening doors for other women, and just, you know, building brands and legacies. And so, like you, there is a comfort kind of like being behind these stories. Mm-hmm. And what you said is going to make me actually dig a little deeper into that, because I have not looked at it as part of my fear of telling my story. But what I will say is it definitely gives me fuel. Like mm-hmm. every single time I interview a woman for the podcast, or, you know, whether it's for a film project and hear a woman's story, it just, I guess, gives me more belief in myself and mm-hmm. my ability to do whatever that thing is that may seem challenging or that may seem impossible. So I'm going to dig into I'm sure there's something there, because it is kind of like hiding behind someone else's like coattail a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's also this, like, it just charges my battery every mm-hmm. time I talk to a woman and hear her story. It just makes me feel like, and not to be cheesy, but like, it makes me feel like if she can do it, I can do it too, which is mm-hmm. what I want people to take away from my work.
Yes, I love that. And I knew that your background was in public relations and mine was in communications.
Mm-hmm.
So storytelling for me too has been the through line. And I've often thought, you know, as I lean in more to the kinds of stories like you that I want to tell as well of a Black woman, I think about my career before and really still as almost being, you know, when I think about the stage and me being the director behind the stage, as a comms person, you know, I might be the costume designer, mm-hmm. I might be doing the lights, and, you know, whomever I'm telling the story for in my traditional comms career has been, you know, on the stage. And like you, it kind of is like me being proud of them on the side,
mm-hmm.
On either side of the stage, and then like slowly putting my own toe onto the stage and just feeling inspired to be more vulnerable and honest in my own story. So I appreciate that, because I do believe that everybody's walk into either being a storyteller for themselves or on behalf of other women just has so much context personally and professionally.
Mm-hmm.
How those things almost train you to have the courage and to step into your own power. And on another note, you know, you've been based in New York for a long time.
Yes. A minute.
Yes. And I think that I was in New York for 4 years. Mm-hmm. I was like 4.5. And I think my entrepreneurial savvy and my creative discovery was really birthed while I was in Harlem.
Oh, yes.
And now you're in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. but there is just something about that concrete of New York. You know, I don't know if you use the word violent, but it can be aggressive. It can be inspiring. It's exciting. I feel like when you're in New York, you really feel alive, not to take away from any other city, but there's definitely some magic that happens.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely. New York is, every single thing that you described to me. And I have been here a long time. In fact, December of 21 was my 20-year anniversary here. And I don't even know where the time has gone. And New York is like one of those places, you know, in our previous conversations, we've kind of compared to New York to a lover or this relationship that is so, there's so much fire and there's so much energy there. But then there are elements of that relationship that can be unhealthy or toxic or just elements that you've outgrown. And so, you know, I have not, I don't know when this is going live, but I have not shared this publicly, but I'm in a space now where I'm redefining home. And part of that redefining of home for me is just really thinking about myself outside of New York City, because for so long, it's like, it's again, it goes back to that relationship. It starts to define you in a way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, New York, Brooklyn specifically, because I go hard for Brooklyn, like quite honestly, I could do without Manhattan and no shade to Harlem and other parts of New York City, but like, Brooklyn is its own vibe, and I do so much just within Brooklyn and even within my community of Bed-Stuy. So for many years, it has defined me because so much of my work is here, my relationships, you know, I became a woman here. I had so many beautiful experiences that stretched me. So I think that, you know, public facing, you know, I think that I am probably aligned with Brooklyn quite a bit. And then just in my own life, I think I've kind of made that part of who I am. But lately, I've been thinking a lot about like, well, who is Renee outside of New York City? Because, you know, truth be told, there are a lot of elements to New York that I, you know, am ready to like do without. There's so many things about New York. I mean, everyone who has ever lived here understands that nothing comes easy here, you know, all the way down from finding an apartment to finding a parking space. Like it's everything has, you know, a bit of grit, a bit of challenge to it. But then there are so many beautiful experiences here. But with the way the world has shifted, with the way I operate from day to day being so drastically different than what it was, you know, early 2020, I've really been sitting back and thinking like, you know, I could be somewhere else. Like maybe this is a good time for me to make an exit. And make an exit in terms of like, I'm not sleeping and waking up in New York all the time, no matter where I live. I will New York will always be home. Brooklyn will always be home. It will always welcome me with open arms. I would be here so frequently that it would probably feel like I'm still here, but I'm ready for a new energy. Like my spirit is calling for something different. And one way that I described it when we were talking before is that, you know, New York for me has really always forced me to tap into more masculine energy. And by that, I mean, and I hope that, you know, this doesn't offend anybody. You know, we get sometimes more sensitive about gender related conversations. But for me, when I say that, I think about like the hustle, you know, the pushing, the drive. Like I said, so many things here are a little more challenging than I think they need to be. And in this time in my life, I'm ready to lean into more feminine energy. And by that, I mean a little more stillness, you know, resting more, receiving, you know, I think in New York, I don't use the word grind, but it's just, it's synonymous with New York. You know, when you think about New York, it's this hustle, it's this grind, and you imagine someone always like chasing something, right? Always working towards something, always trying to get to this next place. And at this point in my life and in my career, I'm like, I want to be in flow. I want to be receiving.
Like
I have planted so many seeds throughout my life, throughout my career. Like, and it's not saying that I'm ready to stop and like live on a farm and rest on my laurels, but I kind of just want to be on the receiving end more and just really see what happens in my life when I make decisions and make changes that are about me as a person, as opposed to about my career. Because prior to New York, I lived in Chicago and I moved there after college for my first job out of college. So it was a career-based relocation. I came to New York for the same reason. And it's like, you know, at this time in your life, it's okay to move somewhere for you, you know, because what we've seen in the last couple of years is that your career can flourish anywhere now. Like you don't have to be in these certain cities. So that's kind of where I am now, Chloe. I want to really negotiate the balance between that feminine and that masculine energy. I want to balance the two and focus more on being instead of always doing.
I love that. Negotiate the balance versus it feeling like you're in this whirlwind and you are keeping up with the pace of your environment.
Yes.
But taking back the reins. I love that. And, you know, to the masculine versus feminine part, I think it just speaks to there's grit about the city that almost exposes our polarities, you know, like the hustler and the artist, the dreamer, the doer, the masculine is so pronounced that it helps you. It just crystallizes where you are not having the opportunity to fall into your feminine. Yeah, no, I get that. And as your masculine energy kind of felt particularly pronounced in your career, I'm wondering how it showed up in other various parts of your life.
I'm sure it has. I'm sure you could talk to maybe people I've dated or had relationships with, and they would probably co-sign that. It has to, you know, like we, as much as we think that we can compartmentalize parts of who we are and parts of our personalities and like have that shine through, you know, in this part of the day and then take the cape off and be someone else later. I mean, it's, I think it's almost impossible. I think that who we are in one part of our life is probably who we are in other parts of our lives. So I'm sure it has. I'm absolutely sure it has. And with that said, I mean, I am ready to lean into more ease in every part of my life, you know? The last couple of years, and I keep referencing the last couple of years because they've been so transformative for all of us. But for me, it's been a huge lesson in let it happen. You know, I think that especially the first part of 2020, for me, it was for everyone, it was a loss of control. You know, put it like this, a loss of the control we thought we had. I think that what we realize is that we don't control really anything, you know? And so with that, you know, the last couple of years for me have been really trying to lean into that more, you know, like if it's something I'm working on, and I feel like I've done what I can do to push it forward and it still doesn't move forward, I kind of pull back and I trust that if this is not it, that there's something greater happening later, you know, like there's something that makes more sense. There have been, you know, partnerships that I thought, professional and personal partnerships that I thought would be one way that didn't end up that way. And I'm really in a space now where it's like, I'm more comfortable with what is, as opposed to trying so hard to make it what I want to be, you know? And that has been a really beautiful lesson that I've been learning that, you know, I hope to continue to learn and nurture, because it just kind of makes life so much easier when you can live in a place of acceptance about things and about people, you know?
Yes, absolutely. You're not forcing what you hope is your fate.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
No, I love that. So we're going to speak ease, stillness, rest, and receiving into this new chapter for you. And so as a creative entrepreneur and me just being excited for this next season for you, I'm wondering what muscle are you most excited to exercise?
Oh, this is a good question, Chloe. Wow. What muscle am I most excited to exercise? I can't think of what the name of this muscle would be, but I just want to, and it goes back to ease, but like I want to connect in the first word that's coming to mind is like my desire to connect to, I guess, more of what I think could help me in this next chapter of life. So like what comes to mind is like connecting with where my spirit is guiding me. Like right now, my spirit is guiding me to redefine home for myself. So I want to connect with where my spirit is guiding me versus what I think I should be doing or what society thinks I should be doing, you know? I want to connect to more light, literally and figuratively. And I feel like now I'm sounding very secretive about, you know, when I think about home. But when I think about redefining home for me physically, I see a lot of sunlight. I see bluer skies. I see an ocean. I see sunshine. Like, I just want to connect to more light. I want to connect to more people that make me feel like home. And I have a lot of that here in New York, but I know that that exists in other places for me too. And I want to nurture those relationships up close and personal. I want to connect to like more self-love and self-celebration, which I think goes back to the top of our conversation about how we may be hiding a bit behind other people's stories. So, yeah, I want to connect more to celebrating myself, you know, and even sharing more of myself. And so, one thing that, for example, when we think about, you know, we're both using multiple platforms to tell women's stories, but obviously, you know, podcast is one that we have in common. And my podcast producer has been on me for the last couple of months. She's like, Renee, why don't you always have guests? Why don't you do a solo episode? So you might be onto something, Chloe, because I have skirted around that solo episode so much. And it actually came up again this past week in some notes about Women's History Month coming up. And, you know, if I'm honest, there is a bit of, I guess it's fear around me just talking for a whole episode. It's like, okay, I love to be in conversation with other people. Do I want to just be on this mic rambling to myself? Because that's kind of what it would feel like. And I think the fear or concern is, would that episode get as many listens? Would it be as interesting? Am I going to feel as engaging by myself without someone else to bounce ideas and energy off of? So you tapped into
Interesting.
something because
Interesting. We got there
we
eventually.
got there. You made me like spit it out because at the top I'm like, oh no, I don't think it's about, and you just literally made me think about this solo episode that has been kind of something I've been trying to avoid that I need to tap into.
No, I can completely relate to that. This is the fifth season, and for every like almost finale, that the last episode of every season, I've done solo, and almost as a wrap up. And what I've personally learned from each of the episodes cumulatively, and so it is almost like a journal entry as I've journeyed through each of the seasons. So I think it's interesting, and I think we do want to hear more from you, Renee.
I have to really now I'm like, I need to talk to my therapist about this because what am I hide? Like what I don't have anything to hide. So what am I trying to avoid, I guess, or what is my biggest, when I think about doubts that I may have in my mind, or, and not that this is a negative thought, but, you know, if I have a negative thought, one thing that I try to think about is like, what is this voice trying to tell me, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And so that's something I really need to sit with for a bit, like this part of me that's reluctant to do a solo episode. Why is she reluctant? You know, what is she trying to avoid? What is she afraid of? What mm-hmm. what is that voice telling you? So mm-hmm. I need to think about that. I need to sit with that one for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're going to do a part two then. But it's interesting because one of my last questions was about how you are defining home differently. Mm-hmm. But you kind of already answered that. And I love, love, love how mm-hmm. specific you are about.
Girl,
is that
New
you?
New York is New Yorking. Now, what? See? New York is so funny. New York is like, oh, you want to talk about me on this episode?
Right.
I want to show out.
Right. But no, that the specificity of what you need to feel at home, to feel at ease, mm-hmm. I think is so intentional, maybe without you knowing it, but it is, it's opposite of what a lot of us do, which is step into new environments without being specific, whether they're new environments, new relationships, new, you know, life scenarios without mm-hmm. being specific about what is it that we need exactly to feel the way we know this season is calling us to feel. So I'm really welcoming that for you. And then my last question, I think last time we talked, you said that every place kind of brings out a new quality in you. Mm-hmm. And so while, you know, we've talked about a bit what New York brought out of you, what quality do you have in you that New York wasn't able to bring out of you, that you are looking forward to the other side, LA, bringing out of you?
That's something I've been kind of thinking about quite a bit. I want my new home to bring out the softer side of Renee. And, you know, that just really goes back to what we were talking about before, about the feminine and masculine energy. I want to be soft, mm-hmm. you know, and just even in my day-to-day comings and goings, you know, my community now, I guess everyone, you know, has purchased a car during the pandemic. And so I could easily roll up into a spot, possibly, you know, that used to be more frequent. Or now, the last few times I've gone out, I could be driving around for an hour in my neighborhood looking for a parking space and then just parking in a lot because I've given up and I've realized that my time is more valuable. So, you know, ease, like little things like that. And I don't even want to call it little because that's stress inducing, you know?
I was going to say, I think those things, when they pile up, they really rob you of your ability to be present in the thoughts that actually deserve your attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also determines the things that you may or may not do. Like yesterday I got invited to dinner in the city and, you know, it's freezing. So that's another thing that I'm looking to change. Like winter is cute. After January 2nd, I am over it. And my tolerance for it has lowered considerably, although I'm from the Midwest. But, you know, yesterday when I was weighing that invite and deciding, like, was I going to go? I'm like, okay, it's freezing outside. What am I wearing? And then that parking thing sealed the deal. I was like, oh no, if I get back at 10 p.m. or later, I am not gonna find a parking space. And it's part of the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. So I also wanna be free, you know? I wanna be free to move the way I want to move in the world without something like parking being part of the decision making. Like parking is literally a character in my life and I have to factor it in.
So we're speaking more fluidity.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Just
yes.
I'm trying to think what else. I think softness. That is probably the best way to describe everything that I want to be and experience in this next, you know, in this, I don't want to say next chapter because that sounds so dramatic because there are so many chapters in our lives, but this next step, I also, and I think I touched on this earlier, New York, there's an urgency, like there's an energy here that in many ways is inspiring because like you said, the city feels alive. There's always movement. There's always, you know, as we just heard, noise, there's always something, but it also can sometimes create this sense of urgency and in like a false sense of urgency because everything is not like a five alarm fire. Everything doesn't have to happen immediately, like in this New York minute that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to be more comfortable with things happening the way they're supposed to, meaning in divine timing, as opposed to I'm snapping my finger and I need this to happen immediately, you know, like that's just part of this environment, but I'm ready to just be more patient. Patience has never been a virtue for me. So moving here, it's like I fit right in, you know, everyone's moving fast and I'm ready to just exercise more patience with other people, with myself. So I think that like this move is just going to allow me to explore these parts of me that do exist, but need a little more nurturing.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you. You forced me to like really think about some things. And I'm sure that my podcast producer is going to appreciate me thinking about this because it like it has come up and she's a Black woman. So I think that we see things in each other as Black mm-hmm. women mm-hmm. that we may not see in ourselves. So the same way you know, may see like me in a certain light, she sees me as someone who could carry a whole podcast episode alone. And mm-hmm. for whatever reason, I've been challenging that in my own mind. So thank you for this because you've kind of given me something to think about, you know?
Yeah. And we will all be subscribing.
Please do.
To your podcast and waiting for the update. I love it.
Yes.
No, you have it in you. And I'm eager to learn and hear more from you.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, I think when I make this move, I don't know how I could not talk about it. You know, like there may even be a whole episode on that because just like any relationship, you know, New York has not made it easy to even think about leaving. Mm-hmm. So,
yes. And so I want to read, there's this one short quote from that book I've been raving about to you called Goodbye to All That. And it's written by it's an offshoot, I guess, of this long essay by Joan Didion. Mm-hmm. And she writes, I was in love with New York. I do not mean love in any colloquial way. I mean, I was in love with the city, the way you love the first person who ever touches you, and you never love anyone quite that way again.
It is spot on. I mean, I don't know. Put it like this. There are extremes, right? Like I know people who have left New York and have not turned back. But more often you hear about people who have left New York and you're always looking for New York in this new place. Mm-hmm. And you have to really get to a point where you're clear that nothing is going to be New York. Just like nothing is going to be like your first love, you know,
right.
Or nothing is going to be like that relationship with your soulmate or, you know, like mm-hmm. I mean, these are relationships that really define us in many ways. In New York, like I said earlier, has defined me in many ways. So I know that I will miss it. I know that I will crave it. But New York isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I can get all of these things that I need from this new city and come back and visit New York and let it pour into me, you know, like get my fill and then leave, you know, mm-hmm. and come back again when I need to. But I cannot wait to read this book, girl, because mm-hmm. it is so timely.
Yes, and I'll just end with this. I think, like relationships, to your point, it is not mutually exclusive to love something or someone and to leave them.
Yes. Yes, you
So.
can love someone and know that at this moment it's better to love them from a distance, you know?
Change.
I needed this conversation.
Oh,
Oh my goodness.
good. No, I've thought long and hard about my relationship with New York and how it is really just a metaphor. And I don't want to say just to dim the light it had on my life, but it is truly a metaphor to real relationships and living in and out of New York. So.
Yes. Wow. I mean, we always get what we need. I think there was a time when the thought of leaving here, like I kind of struggled with it. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of it goes back to this city kind of defining me in a way. But I'm in a space now where I'm very much at peace with my decision. In fact, that impatience that I talked about is starting to kick in. Like, come on, let me find this perfect apartment. And that's even making me do some thinking. It's like, well, what is the perfect apartment in this new city? And what are you looking for? And I'm very specific. And we're both Virgos. I feel like I just found that out on social. You're a Virgo, right?
Yes, I am.
Girl,
Through and through.
you know. So you know.
I do know.
When we are clear, we are so clear. Like, this is what I want. This is how I want it. To
Exactly.
the
And
T.
nothing, no one can tell me will distract me from what I want.
No, girl. I'm working with three brokers right now. And I want to just say to each of them, please go back to our original exchange where I told you what I was looking for. And please only send me that. But, you know, again, like just being open, you know, I'm trying to open myself up to, well, if there are five things on this list of like what I am looking for in this new space, maybe I'm only going to get four. Maybe it's three and a half. You know, maybe I need to focus on the location and how that makes me feel, and maybe less on some of the, you know, specifics. But guess what? There is never going to be me settling on not having a parking space because that would be too much like New York City.
I love that. And I'm going to end with your own words about negotiating the balance. And you said that you want to be open to more negotiation of the balance that you have. And so that applies across the board.
Yes, you are absolutely right. You are
Awesome.
absolutely right. This has been, I mean, this really. I was looking forward to this conversation, but I don't think I thought about how timely the conversation would be, you know, considering this space I'm in, considering, you know, like being in this moment of redefining home. So thank you so much for this. Like, this is the conversation I didn't even realize I needed today. So I
Beautiful.
appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to Life I Swear. You can follow Life I Swear on Instagram. And if you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your podcast fix. And learn more at lifeiswear.com. I hope you join me next week for another episode. In the meantime, be well, friend.